And on the Space Show, we're now going to talk about that new movie that's showing in town. It's called Hubble 3D, and we're going to have a review of it tonight. You may remember 2 weeks ago we did play some extracts from it and went on a tour of the IMAX projection box and had a talk that I recorded with James Nyhouse, who was the director of photography. So let's just remind ourselves here and take a little listen to this movie.
Engineers have discovered that the giant telescope has a warped mirror.
One of the mirrors in the Hubble Space Telescope is out of shape, and as a result, the pictures it's sending back are no better than those from telescopes on the ground.
You better go open the doors.
Okay.
We've got in the studio joining us now the Aylward tribe. There's Peter, Clark and Martin. Good evening, Peter. Welcome to the Space Show.
Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Fine. Now, this movie, I saw it a few weeks ago, and I'd already seen it three times in the United States. But you went to see it last week, I believe.
Yes, I took Clark and Martin along, and I had seen it myself as well in the US, but it never gets old for us space geeks, and I thought my boys would enjoy it, and I think they did. What did you think of it, Martin? Martin is 6 years old.
It was good, and I liked the end when we saw all the Milky Ways.
Oh, that's right, yes, because they used some of the pictures that they'd taken with the space telescope and sort of flew you through the space, didn't they?
Yeah.
And Clark, what did you think of it?
It was good.
And what was the best part of it?
Maybe at the end.
What's that?
Oh, where they flew through all their Milky Way things.
Oh, you liked that part as well, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. So, yeah, the film itself is quite spectacular. It's in 3D, so you wear the special glasses. And you look a bit funny when you're wearing them, but it makes the effect very dramatic when you're sitting there watching it. And some people say it's the closest thing to actually doing a spacewalk when you're on Earth. So it's probably as close as I'm going to get, although Clark and Martin might actually get to do a spacewalk one day. That'd be nice if they wanted to. Would you like to do a spacewalk, Martin?
Yes.
Okay. What's the overall story of this film?
The story of the film is, as the teaser of your introduction there indicated, when they built the telescope, the Hubble telescope, they built it in the late 80s and launched it in the early 90s. It got on up in orbit, and they realised after a little bit of testing that, in fact, there was an error in the shape of the mirror. Now, the error was not big. It was less than... like the telescope itself is 3 metres in diameter, I believe, around that, and the error in the mirror shape was less than a hair width, but it was enough to make the images sub-quality. So they designed some optics to get around that problem, and the story is essentially the mission of the space shuttle to take up that equipment and install it along with a bunch of other things that had either needed replacing or had failed, like batteries and gyroscopes and sensors and these types of things. So very, very tricky spacewalk tasks. Some of the things they did, the Hubble was designed from day one to be serviced while in orbit, so they had a lot of things that could, you know, be easily or relatively easily swapped out with astronauts wearing spacesuits and gloves. But some of the things they had to do because of this problem, actually they were never designed to do, so they had to design special equipment and special tools in order to be able to do it. And so the story is of that mission and the fact that they were able to actually do a 100% successful flight and restore the Hubble to its operational glory and really the start of a huge amount of data and discoveries. So really, really very well done. So they took up these IMAX cameras, which are very large format cameras and very heavy pieces of equipment, and filmed key sequences during the mission, and the result is the movie that you see down at IMAX. Well worth going to see.
Clark, what did it make you feel you were in space?
Yeah.
And what about when the shuttle launched? Did you feel you're right there with it, or was it sort of like, well, it's over in America somewhere?
Well, like somewhere in America.
But did you feel like you were, like how close you were to the screen? Did it feel like it was there?
Yeah.
It is launched in America, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what did you learn astronomically about the about the cosmos, about space? What did you learn about space from that movie?
Did you learn something new that you didn't know before about it?
Not really.
Okay, perhaps Martin.
There's so many Milky Ways.
That's right.
Mm. And we went for a big long tour through them, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. But what the film does, it animates these what you normally see as 2D pictures, just a flat picture, and it puts it into the third dimension, and you actually cruise right through them. Now, this is real data that they're cruising through. It's not just pretend, like you sometimes see a screensaver which pretends it's sort of going through galaxies and things. This is actually the true third dimension. And did you enjoy the tour around? What was the best part of the tour around the different galaxies and things?
I don't really have a favourite.
Okay.
All right. And when the astronauts were training, did you see them under the water?
Yeah.
Would you like to do that?
Yeah.
Would it be a bit scary?
Yeah.
Yes, I think I'd be scared too. To me, going under the water is like you're going to drown.
But at least there's no sharks and jellyfish and things under there. They've got a very super big, clean pool, haven't they?
Yeah.
And Clark, what was the part of the training that you saw that you'd most like to do?
Well, the underwater.
The underwater as well?
Yep.
And would you like to get dressed up in a big orange spacesuit and get into the shuttle?
Yep.
Do you think you will one day?
Maybe.
And if you were able to travel off anywhere in space, where would you go?
Maybe to another universe.
Wow.
Oh, into another universe.
That's cool.
We don't even know if there are other universes. Gosh, that's ambitious. All right. Any other comments on the film?
No.
No?
It was actually really very well put together, the whole film, we think. And for someone who's never really seen any space movies or really... In fact, it'd be good for people that have not that much knowledge of space and perhaps don't really take much notice. I mean, we see the shuttle launches on the news and you might get a 30-second or 10-second snap of saying, oh, the shuttle's off to do something. But by seeing this film, it really does help to give you an understanding of the complexity and the unique things and the unique environment that the shuttle operates in and some of the very amazing things that they can do. Now, that... I mean, the mission itself to Hubble is really a justification for human spaceflight. There is no way that that repair could have been done by a robot. Basically, if they'd launched that Hubble and discovered the problem, they would just have to trash it and build another one. So by having really the ultimate computer, which is the human mind and the human brain, and the ultimate... operator of having the person on the ground or above the ground, as in this case, actually there reacting to problems and issues, and there were problems and issues, and that shows you those in the film, things that I hadn't anticipated, but being able to react in real time, come up with solutions and workarounds, really is a testament to why a lot of us believe that humans do belong in space, and really it just is not the same sending out a little robot and taking pictures.
Well, Clark and Martin,
yeah?
Would you recommend this film to your friends?
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't get there.
You have to go a bit closer.
Yes.
Okay, and what will you be telling your friends about it?
Well, how they trained.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then the screen was 7... story high, I think.
Oh, yes, that's right. The screen is really, really huge, isn't it? Compared to a normal movie theatre screen, it's much, much bigger. So it almost covers your whole field of vision.
Peter, you saw it, as I did, in the United States at the Kennedy Space Center. And again here, does as the advertisements for IMAX say, does size matter?
Oh, I think it does. Yeah, as I said, with the ability to sit there and have it virtually cover your field of vision does really fool your brain, and you let yourself get fooled, fools your brain into taking you into that. So you really do feel that you're in some way there, and I guess the size of the screen, once again covering your field of vision, does make that difference. Yeah.
And I thought the projection here in Melbourne was a lot sharper than it was at the Kennedy Space Centre.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, well, we'll have another try at this extract from the movie, and let's see how we go.
Engineers have discovered that the giant telescope has a warped mirror.
One of the mirrors in the Hubble Space Telescope is out of shape, and as a result, the pictures it's sending back are no better than those from telescopes on the ground.
You better go to open the doors.
Okay, later. It would be 3 long years before astronauts could return with a remedy for the ailing Hubble.
Right, I've been pulling it, I've just poked it up with my fingertips. Pitch up a little.
They installed 2 instruments, each containing a huge contact lens. Scientists hoped the new lenses would sharpen the telescope's blurry vision. Africa's Cape of Good Hope, Hubble was launched once again. For the next 10 years, 3 more astronaut crews would repair and enhance Hubble's vision even further, transporting us to places we could only have dreamed about. In a stream of staggering images, Hubble revealed the powerful, prolonged aurora on Saturn. The haunting gaze of a dying star. The Helix Nebula. The awesome Eagle Nebula, known as the Pillars of Creation, a birthplace of stars. Hubble captured imagery so complex, we can actually travel through it. This is real star travel. The bright star passing by is Sirius. It's one of the nearest to Earth, a mere 50 trillion miles away. We're now heading towards the 3 little stars in a slanted row there, called Orion's Belt. Distances here are so vast, they're measured in light years. A single light year is almost 6 trillion miles. Orion is 1,500 light years away. That means we're traveling at 150 trillion miles a second. We're going to explore that rose-colored cloud just below the belt. The Orion Nebula.
Now, Clark and Martin said during our talk here that they enjoyed the crew training most of all. Well, we have a little clip from the movie where they can you can hear what impressed these 2 young students that are with us now.
We are going to add a shuttle servicing mission to the Hubble Space Telescope to the shuttle's manifest to be flown before it retires.
Final mission is a go. For the first time, a second orbiter stands ready in case there's a call for help. Just weeks to launch, the Hubble crew is training hard. The spacewalkers practice in the 6-million-gallon pool of the Johnson Space Center. It's the closest they can get to zero gravity.
Motion is stopped for the stanchion.
Okay.
4 stories underwater, there's an entire shuttle cargo bay and a life-size model of Hubble.
Yeah, the big thing about this telescope is it can point really, really accurately and hold its position, and it's the gyros that allow you to do that. But you're in a tough spot.
Got him?
I got you.
I'm going to move in a little bit more.
Stick mass.
and my spacewalking partner up inside the telescope and in the bowels of the science instruments. We have to be really careful now. And I'm a big goon, and I've got to get inside of there. So this is the problem, how to get me inside this really cramped place. He's got to work in there, but he has to be perfectly still. And he can only work with one hand right there amongst the fixed-head star trackers. They don't like to be bumped, and you knock them off their axis, and they're useless. And the whole telescope's useless.
Mike Massimino, otherwise known as Max, has serviced Hubble once before. John Grunsfeld on the left is an astrophysicist and mountaineer. He's had more visits to Hubble than anyone else. This will be the first trip to space for Mike Good, known as Bueno. He enjoys a slightly soggy hug from his wife, Joan. Soon they'll be saying their goodbyes to families and friends. Shuttle arm operator Megan MacArthur describes the last hours before launch.
I always love being by the ocean, surrounded by dunes and, seaside plants. It's very calming for me down at Kennedy. And it's just a nice place to go, kind of relax and let your mind wander a little bit and relieve you from the different cares about getting ready to launch.
Launch day is finally here. It's no secret that space is a dangerous place. In the last 2 decades, 32 astronauts have put their own lives on the line to give life to Hubble. Men and women is a true hero.
SRO.
SRO, so you have a range clear launch.
And CDR.
CDR and entire crew is go.
Okay, Stuart, look, it's a great day to go fly. On behalf of the KSC Processing Launch Team, I'd like to wish you, your crew, and the whole Hubble Space Telescope team a great mission. Good luck, Godspeed, and we'll see you back here in about 11 days.
And that's just the final moments before they launch into space to do the servicing mission on the Hubble. Well, we've been with Peter Arwood, Clark Arwood, and Martin Arwood. Now, Martin, do you have any final comment that you'd like to pass on to the listeners about the film?
Fixing the telescope. Yeah, it was really good, and you could see inside the telescope.
You could actually see inside the telescope. Wow. And what did you see inside it?
All the controls and the instruments.
Looking towards the instruments. Okay, and thank you, Martin and Clark.
Well, I really like the launch. It was like the sound was like you were there.
Your dad's seen a few of those launches. I've seen one. And yes, it's pretty realistic, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
I wouldn't like to be as close as those cameras, though, in a real launch, because I think you'd probably get burnt. But it's good to have a camera there and be able to watch it.
Die.
You might even die too, that's right.
Yeah.
And the other good thing about it was seeing the Earth from up in space, wasn't it? Because they flew over all different countries.
Yeah.
Including, I think, they showed some of Australia as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did Australia look like from space?
Colourful. Lots of blue.
And any red? Because, Australia is known as the red continent, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Near the centre.
That's right, yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us, Peter, Clark and Martin, on the Space Show.
Thanks, Andrew. It was a pleasure.
And we'll take another listen into this movie. And here we've got to the point in the movie where they've repaired the telescope and launching it back into space, releasing it from the space shuttle. And the astronauts then have time to reflect and think back on what an achievement they've done.
On day 9, above the Sahara, the crew returns the telescope to orbit. They'll return safely home to their families, knowing they've exceeded every expectation.
When we look back 500 years from now,
I believe that Hubble will be judged one of the truly remarkable inventions of humankind. Hubble addresses such fundamental questions. How did planets form? Where did we come from? Where did the universe come from? How did the pieces, the chemical elements that we're made of, form? All these things that allowed us to be here, to build a Hubble, to look out into the cosmos.
Extracts there from that IMAX movie showing at IMAX Melbourne. It's called Hubble 3D. Something else that's is coming up at IMAX. You remember that film Avatar by James Cameron? Well, James has done another version of the film. Yeah, he's added an extra 8 minutes to what was already a long movie. I guess it's some way to get, bring some more money out of this record-running film. But what he's done, he's teamed up with NASA and has featured in a series of new NASA public service announcements that describe the many contributions of the agency's Earth Science Program to environmental awareness and exploration of our home planet. In releasing these films, Cameron said, "When NASA ventures into space, it remembers to keep a steady eye on home. Its fleet of Earth-orbiting satellites constantly reveals our whole planet, its remotest places, its mysteries, and the powerful influence of humans." Well, Cameron's 3D epic, which was based on a fictional planet called Pandora, is coming back to theatres this week. The story centres on a beautiful planet threatened by forces that want to exploit its natural resources. Now, NASA's public service announcements feature the Avatar film imagery and include computer animations and data from NASA's fleet of Earth-observing satellites. NASA has 14 science satellites in orbit, making cutting-edge global observations of the entire global system, including the atmosphere, oceans, land surface, and snow and ice. So there's a little mix there, and this the new version of Avatar has 8 minutes of new so-called never-before-seen footage. Of course, the footage I want probably won't be in it, but it's the footage where it should show the SEX, but I don't think I'll put that in.